SpongeBob and Cartman get angry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. There's a nasty feud going on this New Year's Eve between Time Warner Cable and Viacom. Viacom wants Time Warner to pay more for carrying Viacom's 19 channels. They include Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon. The bottom line is, if there isn't some kind of resolution today, the South Park Marathon will be interrupted tonight. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
Viacom says it gets just a tiny percentage of Time Warner's programming fees, but brings in close to 20% of the cable company's audience. So Viacom's threatening to pull its programming at midnight if Time Warner doesn't cough up more cash. And Viacom's launched a multimedia ad blitz.
Time Warner Cable has dropped your favorite channels and shows.
What?
That means no Nickelodeon.
No!
No MTV.
Really, really upset right now.
No Comedy Central.
Oh, that makes me so angry!
No VH1, no Spike TV, no Noggin, no TV Land. You lost 19 of your channels.
There's even a poster featuring Dora the Explorer in tears. Alex Dudley is a vice president at Time Warner. He says Viacom's demands would ultimately increase cable customers' bills.
They're asking essentially for a 15% raise in the worst economy that anyone's ever seen. And it's made even more obnoxious by the fact that their ratings are down.
But Viacom says any fee increase for customers would come to less than a penny a day. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
For Wall Street, the end of 2008 can't come soon enough. Just a few hours, people. Some minor gains so far. The Dow is up 41 points to 8709. That's about 0.5%. The NASDAQ has climbed 10 in the early going, and the S&P 500 is up 3 points. So far in Europe, shares are a little bit higher, which probably doesn't soften the blow of 45% losses for the year. I guess the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon applies to Wall Street, too. It's come to light that Bacon and his wife, Kira Sedgwick, invested with Bernard Madoff. They're hardly alone. Many wealthy, smart people, banks, universities, charities, they all trusted Madoff with their money. And if the allegations are true, they were paying each other off, a classic Ponzi scheme. Today, we'll find out more about Madoff's assets and how much his victims might get back. Some of those investors are suing their hedge funds for channeling money to Madoff. But they have little recourse because hedge funds are probably the least regulated financial business in the world. Of course, that could change now. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Hedge funds are known for making big money, taking big risks, and having almost no rules to follow. Why the lack of regulation? Well, it costs millions to invest in a hedge fund. So those investors are seen as sophisticated and not in need of regulatory protection. But securities attorney Lance Kimmel says that's just not the case.
We're talking about pension money, 401k managed money. If that fund is CalPERS, the public at large is an investor in that hedge fund.
Congress will hold a hearing next week to look at the Madoff scandal. Kimmel says the likely conclusion is that Madoff took advantage of a lack of regulation.
I think that that may have been a critical element that allowed someone like Madoff to get away with it for so long.
Earlier this year, the hedge fund industry held an estimated $2 trillion in assets. Because hedge funds typically borrow so much to finance investments, they've been hit especially hard by the economic crisis. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, December 31st on Marketplace.org. I'm guessing most people will drink the cheap stuff when they pop the cork tonight. Champagne sales are way down this year. Jean-Luc Renault has more.
Los Angeles wine retailer Jim Knight says far fewer customers are buying champagne these days.
Champagne sales in dollar sales were down 33%. Which was a lot more than what the overall store was down.
Demand for bubbly has gone flat as many consumers cut back on luxury items. Trade group Champagne USA reports stateside shipments fell by 17% this year. That's the first time the number has dropped in 5 years. But that's good news for people whose champagne tastes remain intact. Tom Perko is president of the consulting firm Bevmark. He says steep discounts on unsold champagne have touched off a buyer's market.
I've probably bought 4 or 5 cases of champagne within the past 2 weeks because the deals are irresistible.
Now there's something worth toasting this New Year's Eve. In Los Angeles, I'm Jean-Luc Renaud for Marketplace.
Instead of looking back on the fallout of 2008, we're looking forward to 2009. Today, the question is, what will happen in the housing market? Our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, is with us. Bob, what do you have for us?
I've been reading a lot of quotes from a lot of different experts, and nobody seems to be able to agree on what's going to happen. In fact, it might be more reliable to consult with my magic 8-ball here. Let's see what it says. Ask again later.
That doesn't help very much.
It doesn't. But the experts say, and this is a little bit more studied, the experts say that we're going to have a very long, very slow, but steady recovery, perhaps starting sometime around the middle of 2009.
What is the turnaround going to depend on?
Well, there are two key factors here. First of all, jobs. If you don't have a job, you're not going to buy a home. And the pool of prospective buyers is going to shrink if more and more people are losing their jobs. The other is the availability of mortgages, the level of lending that the banks are going to offer. So far, we know that hasn't been good.
But in terms of what's available with credit and loans, I mean, we hear so many different things. What is the real situation out there?
The easiest loans to get in the coming year are probably going to be FHA, Federal Housing Administration loans, or VA, Veterans Affairs loans. The down payment required for those is around 3.5% or even less in some cases, and a first-time buyer isn't going to have to worry so much about their credit score. There are also conventional loans out there, although it does help to have a very good credit score to qualify, and you can expect to scrape up around as much as 20% for a down payment. The National Association of Realtors just the other day, though, issued a statement pressing the government to free up even more credit. They say, yes, there are loans out there to be had, but there are interested buyers that are still facing a lot of roadblocks.
And what about interest rates? We saw that they've been dropping to levels we haven't seen in about 4 decades. How might that possibly open things up?
That's really the big hope here with home builders, with lenders, that mortgage rates are going to stay low. If they do, that is going to help the housing market in the year ahead, because it will make buying a home a lot more attractive. So the Federal Reserve is going to be doing all it can to keep those rates low.
All right, our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
Share your opinions and predictions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. And from all of us at Marketplace, Happy New Year.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.